Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 686. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd like to thank listener Joe after our podcast last week for dropping out of the race. Thank you.
Thanks to Joe for hearing what we had to say.
You guys want Jeff me to do is any here more? As well. You want me to do any more predictions?
You did predict that last week, and then 3 days later it happened. So if you have anything else that you can predict that's good. I
had the timeline even.
What was that?
I had the timeline even. I said you could hear me at the very beginning of the podcast. I like very quickly say by Monday he's gone.
Yeah, and he was.
Yeah, he was. Right.
I mean, it wasn't like I was like some sort of genius. It was,
yeah, at that point, everything was coming down the mountain like it was.
But at the same time, you know.
You have the timeline right.
Yeah, I got timeline. And there are people that could not see it coming for whatever reason. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll pat myself on the back.
I do think that the timing was intentional. Like, they waited until after the RNC and after
Trump had picked
his VP, because I think he might have made they might have said different things at the RNC, and he definitely would have picked a different VP.
I don't think it was planned timing. I think Joe Biden had to like be pushed to the brink or something. Like, he just kind of did a realization while he was, you know, away that he had to do what he had to do. But it's almost like there's some sort of weird divine intervention thing going. Cause like, if that, think about it. If that debate was very unusual to have it that early.
Yes.
So typically it would have been after he was already the nominee. Like, so it's like I think I said this last week, it was like a very strange gift. Like, Biden, best president ever.
There are people out there saying this was all planned. Like,
There's no way.
I think it's planned. Absurd, but I've seen people that have like, they just want something to be a conspiracy and like,
yeah.
But there is something about it that just feels like so perfect, like the way everything is lining up right now. It's weird, but again, I'm not like a crazy person who is.
It wouldn't shock me though if it came out that Biden had made his choice like a week or two earlier.
Yeah,
and like was like, okay, well, when is the best time to make this announcement? What works best for us? Like, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Timing wise, it was kind of perfect. Cause
yeah,
if that was the case, he would have done it during the convention to take away the spotlight from them.
Well, like, no, because you want them to say all the wrong things at that. Like, it's because Biden is too old.
They would have both said.
Well, the things that they can spent their entire convention criticizing Biden for. Are true about Trump.
So now
they're all on record as having said all of these things about him, and now all that stuff can be used against them.
Yeah, I guess that is a funny part of it. But could you imagine if an hour before Trump's speech, Biden dropped that news? Like, Trump, half of Trump's speech would be obsolete.
No, because Trump would he'd spend his entire speech taking credit for it. That's maybe. What it would have become.
I think Biden, just by watching it from the outside, he seemed pretty defiant about the whole thing, and like he needed basically Nancy Pelosi strong arming him. Like,
yeah.
Congrats to her too.
Right.
Good job, Pelosi.
It's been a wild week. But Jeff, when you talked to me on Sunday, I was not. I feel much more optimistic now than I did, 4 days ago.
I couldn't disagree with what you were saying more. But here's what I'll say. this might be the happiest moment that we have for the next 4 years. So allow yourself to be happy for a minute.
That's right. That is a very, very good point.
Like, let the hope in a little bit, because I feel like there's reason to be hopeful. I think she's going to give him a run for his money.
Yeah, I mean, she'll work a lot harder than Biden would have, and probably harder than he'll work.
And she's significantly better speaking publicly than she was 4 years ago.
And I think a lot of all people have heard from her so far is that we did it, Joe. And that's like their entire impression of her.
You're right.
And I think actually hearing her speak and actually seeing her do things will change a lot of minds.
And you know, look at like she's blown up on TikTok and shit. Like,
yeah,
Biden was not able to do any of this, you know. Does it even translate to a win or to votes? I think it puts us in a much better position than we were. We were in a very dire position. Like, there was a reason, like, me and somebody else, so many people were like, he needs to leave because he was going to lose. And now it's like, it's a toss-up, you know. I'll take a toss-up over death.
Right. I mean, it's nice to be able to go to, like, the poll in November and be like, I can feel good about voting for this person instead of having to say, oh, I guess so.
I always thought she had good like mechanics and stuff, but like you said, she has improved. She's improved since then.
She was always a smart person. Like, it's just, you know, she seemed to fumble a little bit more. Like the moment was just too big for her when she was running in that primary 4 years ago. And now she just seems way more confident. And she has a little bit more experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's totally set up. And like, it's just like, can you do this 100-meter sprint? Like, can you do this? I'm like kind of blown away by how good she is. It's given me like 2008 tingles a little bit where I'm like, holy shit, dude, this might actually happen.
Well, and it allows her to run on policy, and the Republicans don't have policy. Like, so
they have policy. They just don't want you to look at the policy.
They don't want to talk about that policy.
I guess they do have policy.
Yeah, they just don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
No, that's not real. Trump denounced that. Except like his whole team is people that wrote it.
they were like, kind of to a win here. And it was all based on like, Biden, look at him, he's old, this is elder abuse, and you know.
Yeah.
The best thing about it is like, they spent all that money. There was already like ads and I'm still getting them every once in a while, like Biden did this, and it's like, all that is just absolutely useless, and Trump complaining about it, like, I should get a refund.
He's still complaining about Biden in general. It's like, dude, you gotta reset your campaign.
And that's hard because he's old. It's hard for him to.
I know.
And he doesn't have anything on her because, like,
they have nothing.
Terrible.
Like, they have nothing.
Laughing Kamala, like that's what you got.
Yeah, and that was like the one thing, like, kind of prior to this, like, was something like people would make fun of, and it's like she just kind of leans into it, like. I actually saw an interview with her. They were asking about her goofy laugh, and she's just like, yeah, I got that from my mom, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I was just like, cool. Fuck yeah, dude, we got something. That's how I know. You know, they have very little. Like I told you, Chris, when we were talking about it over the weekend, like the strongest thing that they have is just trying to tie her to this administration and any failures they deem. Like, you know, they're going to do this border czar thing. But it's just, I think it's easy to come back on, be like, hey man, we tried to do something about it. You guys stopped us. Like,
well, that's like, cause that's the thing she was tied most to, but like, hey, we tried to fix this and your guy, the guy who's literally running said, don't do anything. And you followed his orders. That's why the border's fucked up now. And we still improved it. Like, we're at a 3-year low in illegal border crossings.
You guys don't want to fix things. You want to complain about them. You know, like it's, I'm really looking at it. I'm like, the best they got is that she laughs. Okay.
It's like, oh, she knows how to have fun in her life.
Like, you're okay with that. Apparently a couch fucker. Like,
Oh God. There's a lot in Vance too. It's bad. There's so much there.
He's a black hole of charisma. Like he doesn't have it.
It's like the younger version of Pence.
Yeah, he's nothing. He's an empty shell. Like, yeah.
And his Pence region, he claims he comes from Appalachia, and like they hate him. Like,
they
just absolutely hate him. I mean, I don't think it's like enough that it's gonna flip like West Virginia or Ohio, but they're not fans of him at all.
Right. Well, I think Ohio's red anyway, but like that's the reason to have him on the ticket, and you're getting a state that he doesn't even move poll numbers in.
Right.
Like, that's wonderful.
You got Ohio, you're good. I think they just thought like, well, Ohio's the Midwest, so then we get the blue wall because of him. It's like, dude, nobody in, at least no one around here gives a fuck about him, and nobody saw that stupid fucking movie. Like,
yeah. So yeah, it's been a week.
I'm happy that you're feeling better about it, Chris. Because I was like, man, Chris is taking a fucking win as a loss. I'm like, I don't know.
I was just like, I don't know. I don't know how this plays out. And like now, I'm saying like, okay, like
there's a path. Well,
he made the announcement, but then like immediately like passed the torch to her, solidified her. I really thought like. We're fucked. We're gonna be infighting for the next 3 weeks.
Mm-mm.
And instead it was like, nope, she's the nominee, which is the only one I really felt comfortable with, is I voted for Biden and Harris. Like
that's another talking point. That was like your first thing. Oh, they're gonna say like they're subverting democracy. I'm like, dude, she was on the ballot. It's just her that's how many tickets stepping down. Like
and to me, I've just had
a vision on this the whole way.
Yeah, it's like that. I mean, and they're trying that, right? Like Johnson's out there. He's gonna, like he said, he's gonna file some suit or something. I don't know what you do, because it doesn't matter. Like that, it's a party nominee. The party sets the rules on how they decide it. If they want to change the rules, they can. It doesn't prohibit somebody from running third party if they want to. I just hope that this, you know, the idiots that are like, I'm going to vote for RFK or I'm going to vote for Jill Stein are now like, okay, they feel a little bit better about voting for Democrat because Biden's not 4 billion years old.
It's looking like RFK more now than he would hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm going to take every win I can get.
RFK is just a fucking idiot. That guy, he's a mess. I think Tony and I think we discussed briefly about Manchin in our chat.
Like seriously, Manchin? Not
seriously about him, but the guy, like he was like, I'm. People have reached out to me and asked me to run for the Democratic nominee.
Who reached out to you? It's like, well, it was a conversation I had in the bathroom with the mirror. Because that's the only person who wanted you on the ticket.
And then he quickly dropped that. He dropped that. He's like, no, that's not going to happen. And then like, oh, but maybe I'll be the VP. Like, I could be a VP. And I'm like, oh, nope, that's not happening either.
Like, you can't have spent the last, 4 years screwing the Biden administration at every turn and then come back and be like, so you want me on your tick? It's not going to work.
Right.
He is a egomaniac, but
yeah.
Aren't they all?
Oh, I think to get to that position of power. Yeah. You have to have a little bit of an ego, probably a lot of an ego in a lot of cases.
You want a VP prediction?
I mean, I think you've been saying Shapiro now for a bit.
That's what
feels confident.
Yeah, I like Shapiro.
I like him. He comes off good on TV. He won Pennsylvania by a lot. We need Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also, really like, again, if I'm going, I'm going to put my money on it, it's Shapiro, but I really like the let's double down on the women angle and let's do Whitmer. Like, let's make this a real choice, you know? Something about that to me just feels bold and
yeah, I think it's going to be a straight white dude.
Yeah, I don't, of course, that's the easy thing. I would love it for it not to be, but like we're trying to win here.
I think the bold play wins though. Like,
no, I don't think
that's
so.
Inspiring. I think fire under people.
I think there are a lot of people who, if you don't have like a white dude on the ticket, are out. They're just out.
Yeah,
and,
I think so.
And you want those votes from those horrible, horrible people.
I just think there'd be something so bold and kind of inspired about it, and then you could really attack them on the women's rights, you know, the abortion stuff.
I like, guarantee you, if they ran Harris Whitmer, that you lose PA, absolutely lose PA.
You think so?
Like it would not be close. Like
that's not good. Yeah. So my other rationale for Whitmer is when I looked at the polling prior to Biden dropping out, is she kind of performed best against Trump. I'm like, hey, you know, she doesn't hurt, but
right.
I just feel like, you know, the obvious play is Shapiro. I don't know, like, and he's solid from what I can tell. Like, he throws
PA into play.
Yeah, which you want very much.
I still think it's a little bit of a toss-up. Like, there's a reason that we call the middle of this state Pennsylvania. But I think if you can pull enough people from Pittsburgh and the surrounding areas and Philly and our suburbs here, that's what carries the state generally. So I don't know if you get that, though, if you do two women on the ballot.
Well, funny thing about Illinois is once you get outside of Chicago, it's pretty Republican, but it's just Chicago has so much of a population.
And you have so many people in Chicago.
You're a 10-point winner every time if you're a Democrat.
Yeah. I do like, and I know you were talking about how, you know, Shapiro won PA really big, but also.
Yeah, you did put a finer point on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mastriano, who he ran against 2 years ago, he is absolutely terrible.
So is Trump. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
He was so bad. There were Trump people that voted for Shapiro.
This guy
is so bad. Like somehow a bigger dick than Trump. That they did not like him. So he actually pulled some Republican votes that he's not going to get as the VP pick, but
still, I think, man, 12 points. It throws it, is
so 50-50.
Hey,
hopefully it's enough.
I hope so. I really do think that is Shapiro, but is that what everyone thinks then? So we could come back next week and.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have to announce it soon, right? Because they can't wait until the convention.
I think we'll know by this time next week.
Right, because the person has to be nominated at the convention. So they have to announce it ahead of time.
Right.
Can you imagine? They're doing like speed vetting.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
Hopefully they're doing a good job.
I have to think that these guys
are governors.
I hope you don't
have any dirt on Shapiro. Like, what do you have on him, Chris? Like, personally, do you know like his deep dark secrets?
No, and like that's right. Like it really was like Mastriano was so bad that like Shapiro could like have killed puppies in his front yard, and it would not have mattered.
All right, so they should look into the puppies.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he does. Like, there's always the shit that Republicans try to throw at Democrats. Like, oh, he's corrupt because he did this one thing that's like perfectly legal and actually what you're supposed to do. But I don't know. Nothing is like jumping out at me is something that they tried to throw at him when he ran for governor. So, and he doesn't have like the kind of crazy bipolar issue that Fetterman seems to have recently. So
I heard someone on a podcast suggest Fetterman as a VP pick. I'm like, are you fucking insane?
Absolutely not.
That guy's a kind of a disaster. And I liked the guy at first, but like he's kind of all over the place.
He was easy to root for. Like he's a Democrat. He had the whole stroke thing. It was like, I feel bad for you. I hope you win. And then he started speaking.
He's again, like against a completely like train wreck of a candidate, right? Like Oz was so bad.
That, it was a
like,
horrible person. Yeah.
I love the campaign he ran against Dr. Oz, but like since he got in office, I'm like, I appreciate a guy that's like not afraid to just like say what he wants to do, but it just seems like he's all over the place, and the whole like I'm just gonna wear gym shorts to the fucking office thing is a little like, played out. Yeah, like I don't know.
I don't necessarily care about that as supposed to like
I don't care about it either, but it's just like, come on, dude. Like
I mean, find a way to or don't, but it doesn't need to be made a big deal out of. Like I don't really care.
My thing is like everybody else is wearing a suit. Put on a damn suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do it. You can't even put in a minimum amount of effort to put in it. Like
you don't have to wear a tie. You're fine.
No. No, you don't have to wear a tie anymore. You're good.
I mean, just put a suit jacket over your hoodie. I don't care.
Put a suit jacket over your
hoodie. Just like make it a little more bit professional.
Of style, buddy.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in the world today.
There's your politics hour.
Yeah. So, video games, though, they continue to happen.
They do.
Jeff, I know you played a new game. Well, new from last year, but new that we've never talked about on this show. So, you want to tell us about Mechs and FromSoft?
Yeah, I played Armored Core 6. Fires of Rubicon, I believe, is the name of it. I've been super interested to try the game.
By the way, I'm going to stop you right there, because that is a name. You make fun of my strategy game names. That is the name.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like it might
be strategy games.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's what those games have to be. It has to be like something, something, colon, something, something, something.
And this fits the formula like perfectly.
Yeah. I wanted to try this game because it is FromSoft. You know, I they're probably my favorite developer right now. But I'd always been like, I don't know what the fuck Armored Core is. I've never played a mech game. And the way people talked about Armored Core 6 when it was coming out, like, made me go, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't play it. Because it was like, they made it sound too, like, scary and complicated. Like, you would never get this. Like, and there is absolutely nothing to it. Like, I don't understand what the fuck the people were talking about with that, like fans and certain people. But like, there's no dude, it is, you put different robot parts on and you go kill shit. Like, it's pretty straightforward. There's not much else to it than that. Like, and honestly, like, if it didn't have the From Software, like, you know, logo at the beginning, there's not a lot there. There's not a lot here that like reminds me of Dark Souls or Elden Ring or anything. It like, if anything, it carries over their design philosophy of like gameplay is king and there's going to be a challenge. But everything else, there's no bonfire, like retrieving souls. It's just an action game. It's like you select a mission, you take your fucking mech into the mission. You go, sometimes it'll be like, blow up all these things at a facility, and then mission complete. You go, you have money, you go back to the garage, you could buy more parts and attach them to your robot, and then you go do the next mission. Oftentimes there's a boss fight, and those could be difficult. But the action just feels really good. It's like I something like really fluid and fun, and also like their other games, there's like a real weight to things. Like, so after you know, you beat the tutorial mission, you open up a shop. And I immediately bought, like, instead of, like, a gun arm for my right arm, I bought a bazooka. And the weight of, like, pointing and shooting that bazooka, you really feel it. And you really feel that, like, any, like, regular enemy, it's just going to destroy them in one shot. And then, of course, it takes a little longer to reload than a regular gun.
All right, so that's the trade-off is, like, you know, you can obliterate what's in front of you. Shot. But if you're getting swarmed, like...
Or you have... So I ran into a boss that was very good at dodging. And okay. So shooting that, he would just, like, step to the side, like, fuck you. And I wasn't doing shit. And that's where, like, that's what the game is like, okay, well, maybe this doesn't work. I'll go back to the garage and attach a regular machine gun. Or, hey, maybe I'll attach two swords. So I have a sword in my left and right hand, just get in his face and fucking beat the fuck out of him. And so that is, like, when you get deeper into Elden Ring and you have, a ton of spells and different weapons, like, you will do that. You'll be like, those spells didn't seem to be working against this boss. Maybe I'll try this. And that's kind of what you're doing here. It's just, yeah, you're just swapping out parts that you've unlocked. And you got to figure it out because there's no summons. And so far, I think it's pretty fun. Like, I don't know. Like, I enjoy how, like, the movement feels, if that makes any sense. Like, you can hold down A and, like, you just float, like, you ascend, like, 100 feet in the air. You click the left stick, you go flying forward, like you're flying, like Superman. Mm-hmm. And you can go do that flying forward thing and then hit the left trigger and pull out your sword and hit someone right in the fucking face with it. Like, it just feels fun like that.
Is there, like, a penalty for, like, dying in a mission, or, like, can you basically, like, fuck yourself over, is what I'm saying?
No, there's not.
Okay. So, that's actually...
It's just, like...
kind of neat.
Yeah, like, you could, I think there's, like... There's no... It's just, like, hey, can you do this? And I think I've died on bosses, so in... Per mission, you get 3 health refills. And I have not upgraded that yet. But, you know, basically you get 3 health potions and or the repair kits, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I've boss, and then, like, then you start from the checkpoint with 3 health potions.
Okay, so there's checkpoints in the boss
battles. Yeah.
You get through phase one, and it's like, all right, if you die now, like, you start at phase one, but reset with everything.
Yeah, and here's all your health potions back, and yeah. So it's really, again, like, there's a lot of things where I'm like, I would not expect that from software, you know?
Right.
Like, they make it challenging, but it's also just like, hey, you died, you get your 3 healths back, you're right at the boss, here you go, try it again. Although, like, if you're really struggling on a boss, and again, I'm still early, I'm very early in the game, so, like, I don't have enough, like, I don't have a lot of things to swap out with yet, you know, I haven't bought a ton of shit yet, but
right.
I imagine as you get, like, the fun thing about it, be like, well, that didn't work, well, maybe I'll put, you know, shoulder missiles on one shoulder, and then maybe on the other shoulder I'll put a shield thing, and then maybe it would be better if I had 2 bazookas, like, both my arms were bazookas, and I could just really do major air or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you could like think about what is required, like what the fight feels like, and then, like, build yourself out for that. And again, it's not like, it's just like you just keep buying parts, and so it's not like you're committing yourself to a build like an RPG. It's just like, okay, well, this is what I have at my disposal. I'll build myself up like this for this fight, you know. It seems fun. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
That sounds cool.
The one thing... Go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing that's always turned me off is the price. Like, I want to try it.
It never goes on
sale. And it never seems to dip enough.
It's a decent sale right now. It was 30-something, I think. I think it was like $40, like $38, or something crazy like that.
But now the game's been out for a year, and it's single player, and you just expect it to be less.
I know. They just, their stuff never goes on sale. Like, they just don't give a fuck. At that price, the price I bought it, I feel good about it. The one thing I was going to say, though, is that, like, the tutorial has a boss at the end of it, and the boss is very fucking hard. So it's, like, one of those things where you're like, ah, fuck. What will get you past it is that you bought the game.
Right.
And, so you're like, I'm not going to stop at the tutorial. It only took me, like, 5 tries, but, like, I died.
Well, 5 tries for the tutorial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, like, from still, there, like, is it like, okay, like, I understand, like, the tutorial boss is a bitch, but then it, like, gets a little bit, like, it tones down a little bit and then ramps up.
I have not run into anything since that I've not been able to do.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Like, you know.
I mean, that's a very From Software thing, though, is to, like, let you know, hey. But it's cool, like, so I fought the tutorial boss is like this chopper that comes flying in, right? Mm. And it like destroyed me pretty easily. And then as I'm loading it up again, the loading screen is like, hey, maybe you should get in the air, fly right at this thing and hit it with your sword. I was like, okay. Like, they like literally like the load screen told me what to do. I went and did that. And after like 3 tries, it was dead and he barely touched me. So, it just, yeah, again, there's like, there is things that are very From Software-y like that, where it's like, hey, I tried something different and it worked. And, you know, there's, but the rest of it is like, honestly, to me, it has like more in common with something like Battle Tanks than fucking, you know, Elden Ring. Like, it is just very basic, like, go out with a robot and kill shit. Like, it and very short missions, you know? Like, most of the missions I've played have been, like, under 10 minutes.
That's cool. I like the shortness.
I'm going to add this to my wish list, and it comes up on a, you know, a decent enough sale. I don't need any new games right now, but if, you know.
I was going to say, is that sale now? I have been watching since whatever came out, like, August last year or whatever, and it has never gone on sale, at least digitally. So I don't know. Good luck. Maybe it'll go further sale. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just keep an eye on it. Like, it sounds like it could be something like that. I enjoy mechs.
Right.
Like, I'm watching a video of it right now. Like, it looks like they move pretty fast. Like, it's not like the slow lumbering mechs that some mech games have.
Like Warrior.
Yeah.
Like I said, you have 3 different boosts. You have a quick dodge. You have a just normal boost button, and then you have "I am a plane taking off." Like
this is more like a. It honestly, like looking at it, it feels more like a Robotech or a Gundam mech.
I have no reference, but it's very fun, fast paced action. So
think like a Transformer, but can like turn into a plane, and robot guy at the, you know, which is a Transformer, but. But like there's a human pilot, and like this doesn't turn into the plane, but it moves like with that speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's cool. Yeah. I was really like, oh no, it's like, it's mech Dark Souls. I'm not into that, but this yeah. much more.
It wasn't even like the impression I got from people, like when that one was coming out last year, it was like, you need a PhD in the series to get it. And I was like, you know what I mean? It's like, you really have to know how to play Armored Core. And I'm like, maybe I'm a quick study, but it doesn't seem to be like a whole lot to it. It's just like swapping out parts for whatever the situation is. Like, that's all it is.
There aren't, like, I think, Tony, you mentioned Mech Warrior. Like, there's stuff in like Mech Warrior and Front Mission and like those type of games where, like, yeah, like you need to. You could fuck yourself over if you.
Oh, I've played MechWarrior games where, like, I've had designs where I've gone into battle, I've lined somebody up in my sights, I pulled the trigger, and my mech has exploded.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't heat things wrong, like, it was just, it generated too much, and I blew up.
Yeah, this looks like way more of an action game than, like, hey, you have to, like, design your mech with an engineering degree.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it is a pure action game. Like, this is as much of an action game. Like I said, it reminds me of Battle Tanks. Like, it's just like, go out and kill shit.
I don't know. I'm into it. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. Tony, you play anything this week?
So much Skyrim. So much. It's like when did Skyrim come out? 2011?
2011, yeah.
It's like it's 2011 again, because that's all I've played, and it's so great. I'm enjoying it so much. I didn't get anywhere with the Thieves Guild the first time I played through. This time I managed to play the whole thing. The Thieves Guild quest is awesome. I think it might be my favorite faction quest. And then when it ends, there's this thing where you can, like, rebuild the Thieves Guild.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, rebuild its reputation across Skyrim by doing, like, they call them Radiant Quests, in each city.
Okay.
And then when you've done enough in the city, you can then do, like, a mission quest that you earn. That will then establish the Thieves Guild in that city. And you'll get benefits for doing that. Like, there'll be a drop where you can go if you become, I'll get into that moment. But if you become leader of the Thieves Guild, you can go to, like, this drop point and, like, just take what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, occasionally it will, like, earn you money. If you get arrested, they'll just let you go. Like, things like that, which is really cool. But if you've done it in, it's not every city in Skyrim, but I think it's like six of them. At that point, they're like, you're pretty awesome. And they make you head of the Thieves Guild, which gives you access to all this. It's just super cool to kind of like put your name on the map.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't know that the other factions do, where it's clear that you're like the person in charge. Which is fun. And like, I don't know. There's just so much to do in this game. I've been, because it's the Xbox Ultimate sale right now, mm-hmm. and I keep staring at like the Skyrim anniversary upgrade. And then I look at my quest list. I have like 20 quests that I'm in the middle of that I haven't finished. Like, do I need more content? I don't think that I do. I just started the College of Winterhold quests. My build is not a mage build. It's my guy is like, he wears heavy armor, carries a two-handed
weapon of some
sort. Warhammer, actually. And I have all the perks for it. Like, I am not out there casting spells. I am good at enchanting. That's like one of those things. Like, okay, I'm gonna wear heavy armor. I'm gonna have this big thing. I want to enchant it. I want to enchant my armor. I want to build the best armor myself. But it's funny because when you like get to the Mage Guild, they're like, okay, do a spell. And one of the other options is like do a Dragonborn shout. So mm-hmm. like, I just like breathe fire on the person who's talking to me at the entrance, and they're like, oh my god, I guess we have to let you in.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then they start you on the quest line, and you really don't need to have to do spells at all to get through the mage stuff, which is funny. Quite ironic. I have been trying, like, for the first time in, like, 60 hours to actually do spells, but the only one I do is a healing spell. Because anything else I do would be just, like, the enemies at this point are leveled to a certain point. Where, like, if I'm doing, like, basic level destruction magic, it's not going to hurt them at all.
Right.
So I'm stuck at this point. I have to use my Elven Warhammer of Fire to take them out. Because if I, like, cast, like, flames, it's going to take, like, me, like, half an hour to kill one enemy. I can't do that anymore.
But like, having, like, healing magic is always useful.
Yes, healing magic is useful. I have, instead of like just waiting for my health to come back, like now every time my health is down even a little bit, I like use it. Because that was always the thing about Skyrim, was like, that's how you get better at stuff, is just by doing it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was always the best upgrade system. Like, it just makes so much sense in my brain. How do you get better at smithing? Well, you smith. Like, it just...
I've always liked that.
Yeah, and I can't believe, like, other games where you're like killing enemies so that you can upgrade your alchemy. It just doesn't make any sense. Whereas in Skyrim, you have to unlock that ability by doing it. It's really cool. So, I plan on playing a ton more Skyrim. I really, really am liking it again. Although I will say, Fallout London is calling to me.
Yeah, like I voices should play that.
I already own Fallout 4 on Xbox. I own it on Xbox for PC, so I own it twice already. This would mean I have to buy it a third time, either on Steam or on GOG. It looks like GOG is the best option.
Seems like the easiest to get it installed, because then...
Yeah, you have to do a bunch of weird stuff to make it work on Steam, whereas the GOG installer just does all that for you.
Which is a shame, because I own it on Steam.
Yeah.
So just to fill you in, Jeff, Fallout London is it's what they call a total conversion mod.
Yeah.
So basically somebody made a whole new game using the Fallout 4 engine.
Yeah, I saw about it earlier today.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but yeah, to get it to work. When they updated Fallout 4 to the next gen version recently, and that fucked them over. So I guess their solution was they came up with an installer that rolls back
Bethesda cool with this?
People are doing full conversion mods for, but again, it's free, right? You don't have to pay for London. You have to pay for Fallout, but you don't have to, they're giving this away.
Sorry, my voice. I can see my voice is
No, you're fine.
Does it make the setting just different? You're doing the same shit?
No. It's everything.
It's like a new game.
Yeah, it's a brand new game. They've modeled, Fallout London. So they modeled, London into over Fallout 4. They're just using the engine basically, and they've new storylines, new voice acting. It's pretty wild.
New enemies. They've done everything. It's super, super. It's taken them 5 years.
Yeah.
It seems worth a try, and the fact that you can get Fallout 4 on GOG right now for $17 makes it kind of a steal. $17 is for me, that's okay, I could try something for $17. I don't really
That's care. One drink at a bar.
yes.
I really don't want to buy it on GOG, but
yeah. Well, that's I don't have the GOG GOG Galaxy.
GOG Galaxy.
I don't have that installed on my laptop. I do have a GOG account. And I played games on GOG before, but it's been a long time. I don't like having store after store after store. I have Xbox, I have Steam, I have Epic Games. Do I want a fourth one on there? I don't. But maybe Fallout's worth it.
Yeah. And the thing, I don't like GOG Galaxy as a app, as a launcher.
Yeah.
But it does give you the ability to have it just does that shit. It'll install the best version for you. It'll install against your operating system. It knows what it needs to do. It'll configure it all itself. It's just the app is so fucking buggy.
Yeah.
So that's neat. Let's see. All right. So Jeff, last week you talked about Dungeons of Hinterberg.
Yeah.
I have played, maybe a half hour of it now. I played the first two dungeons. The first one is you're thrown into it pretty much immediately, as you start. And then the second one is still kind of it's pretty short thereafter. There's a little bit of story that you get, but then you do that. But I played it. It's neat. It's a neat game. You have played much more of it now, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty far into it.
Yeah, I saw you had earned the achievement for, you know, having completed 10 of the dungeons. I think there's 25.
Yeah.
So like you're moving in, you're either close to halfway or you're over halfway done.
I think I've done 13 dungeons now.
Okay. So what do you think from there? 'Cause it, like, I only have access to the first area and just to,
yeah.
Like to give you a clarification, Tony, is like, you know, you're starting into this. There's like an area of Hinterberg that you can go to initially. They kind of lock it off, like in GTA, where it's like, oh, this isn't open yet. Like,
the bridge is out.
Yeah, like basically, there's like an earthquake when the game starts, and they're like, oh, there, you know, there's damage to these areas. You can't reach there yet. So I only have access to the first one, but in each area, it seems like you'll get new spells and skills. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, have you opened up the other areas, Jeff?
I think I've been to every area now. And yes, each area you go in, you have like specific magic spells that only work in that area. It kind of functions in a way like the Zelda dungeons, where it's like, hey, this dungeon is built on the boomerang, right?
Right.
Except that, like, in Zelda, you could use the boomerang out in the overworld, and here there's not really like an overworld to do that in. Like, there is an overworld, there's like a town you go back to, but it's mostly for going to the shops, you know, that type of thing.
It's an RPG town.
But yeah.
And then the overworld that there is more just like, it's, you know, you're walking to your destination to go to the next dungeon. There's some puzzles there though. 'Cause like to unlock the second dungeon, I had to like put a bomb on a scale, pull the scale up and blow up the door. I think I was probably just to show me how to use the bomb, but
yeah. So like, man, remembering how I get to the new dungeons, I don't know. It's weird. The game is like structured, has a very rigid structure where it's like you wake up in the morning. I think I kind of described this last week. Like, you talk to somebody, then I ask you which dungeon you want to go to, or like what area you want to go to that has dungeons in it. And you go do that. And then in the evening, you come back to the town. And then you get to choose how you want to spend your evening in the tourist town, as well as go to any shops and buy, you know, new weapons or whatever. I think the game is like really, really good. Like, it is those dungeons, like, you know, I'm sure the ones you did felt like they feel like maybe like the little Tomb Raider, like mini dungeons or whatever.
Like, the first one definitely did. The second one was a little bit longer. It's like, I mean, it still wasn't huge, but it was like, all right, I could see how they're going to expand on this.
They get pretty long. They get to where, like, you can spend, like, a half hour easy in them. Which is pretty impressive for there being 25 dungeons, right?
Yeah.
And then the stuff you do at, like, night before you go to bed, like, there is a cycle to the game. Like, it's like Pikmin in that way. It's day 13. You do this. And, you know, after you do the dungeon, you come back to the town. You can either go to bed, you can go back to your, like, fucking watch TV or read a book, or you can hang out with people at night. And that stuff, like, you will see, Chris, like, as you get into it, it's like choosing who you want to hang out with at night is a choice on which stat you want to increase, right?
Yeah. So, like, After the first dungeon, you're introduced to this girl, and she like tells you like, oh, you're gonna stick around. Well, like, hey, you should, you know, I'm gonna give you this book. It has like weird, it's like a dossier on everybody in the town.
Yes, but you like, see the reward you get for hanging like, out with them. Yeah,
if you hang out with Billy, and that's not a character, but if you hang out with Billy, you'll get. you'll unlock photo mode, and then like each there's like four levels to each of these people, and like they have different things. Photo mode is like nothing, but you know, there's like, hey, you can get armor upgrades or something if you hang out with this person.
Yes. And you know, some of these are like ones you're gonna run into no matter what. Like the photo mode is giving you a very basic thing that like everyone will get in the game, and but like here's an example. There's a goth girl named Thea. You should hang out with her, because if you hang out with her once or twice, you get the ability to unlock chests that are locked. She's basically like giving you like a master key.
Okay.
And in the levels, you know, like in dungeons, you're going to find chests that are locked. The only thing that unlocks them is that you're friends with her. So there, the like social sim aspect that you do at night ties into the dungeons that you do on top of that, I think I like really dig that like the game is about tourist town and like the issues that could come up with that. It's also about going on vacation. Like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of like traveling and going on vacation, and like I don't think I've ever seen a video game that like focused so much on what that is about. It's like both a spiritual journey about like, and I'm sure you caught this because it's right in the beginning. Like you're like this lawyer who is like, or you know, you're at a law firm.
She's a junior lawyer. Yeah.
You're like burnt out and you want to like go out on an adventure, and like, it touches on all like, how vacations could be like healing in that way, where you're just like, I need to escape. But then on the flip side of that, it like talks a lot about how like the people who are local to that area, like it has a lot to say about like tourist destinations. It like really does, like surprisingly, and like, I guess at the risk of spoiling, like as it gets further, you're like, there's more to that, even more. You're like, damn, dude, like this game is like really like, it's surprising, because you just thought it was like a backdrop for like just this to do some dungeons, but like it's just, I love the vibe of it. I love the vibe of like, hey, at night you're gonna hang out with these people that you just met. It reminds me a lot of cruises I've been on, or whatever vacations I've been on. You meet people at a bar and you have fun talking to them, right?
Right.
And this kind of like does that, like, and the conversations you have will be like about, you know, hey, you know, what drew you here, like, you know, are you, have, I don't know, like, or like just simple vacation shit. Like, I think I posted this on Twitter, like, I'm sitting there like talking with someone one night, and they're like, hey, you know, when you go on a trip, what do? Do you like unpack your suitcase and like put it in all the drawers and hang your shirts up or whatever? Like, or you just like live out of your suitcase? And there's like no real point to this conversation other than like, that's a conversation I've had before, or it's something I've thought about before. Like when I'm traveling, as I've gotten older, I've gotten very into like, I unload the whole suitcase and everything has to go in the drawers. Like I'm living there. When I was younger, I used to just like live out of the suitcase for like 3 days, whatever. But,
It depends. It depends on the,
I guess it depends on the situation, but like, yeah. I think that was my answer. Is it depends. How is it depends how long the trip is, which is one of the options they give you. And like, I don't know why, but like, you guys know me, like I'm not into story in video games, and there's not necessarily, I mean, there's a very basic story of this video game, which is like you're an office drone who is like going out on an adventure, but it is so, I don't know, striking this certain tone that I'm into it. Like I'm like vibing, like I'm on vacation, and it's like, yeah, I'm gonna hang out with these people around a fire tonight and like see what they have to say. I'm like, I mean, part of it is that it's not like doing exposition dumps in terms of like what the story is, and there is like, again, I'm not aware going on, but yeah, I'm really drawn to the story of this game.
I'm already like getting vibes of like something weird is going on in this town, and you're probably going to figure that out over the course of the 25 dungeons or whatever. But
I also just really love the idea of a town discovered that there's dungeons, and maybe the something about that is just really fun. Like, I don't know. Hey, we're a mad town. Now we're a tourist town. That's neat.
It's funny, right from the beginning, like, you know, as you're in the tutorial, like, you can ask your guide, the person bringing you to the first dungeon, kind of, like, questions and stuff, and, like, one of them, like, because these monsters just appear out of nowhere, and it's like, well, like, are they sentient? Like what's going on with them? Because you don't really know, and... Like, he kind of assures you it's okay to kill them.
Yeah, there's always... But that's what I like about the game. There's always questions like that. It's like, here's this tourist thing. We get to go kill monsters. And you're like, is it okay to kill them? Do they have souls or something? Like, right. Seems bad. And I don't know, man. Like, and that's on top of, like... I think the game has, like, a really fucking cool art style and just, like, a really cool, like, setting and sense of place. Like,
I really do love the art style. It's a... compare it most to Wind Waker. It doesn't have that clean animation style, but it is kind of like watching, like, a drawing, like, come to life. Like, it's really neat looking.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah. I really like the style to it.
Well, I'm happy you're enjoying it so far. I mean, I guess you're not very far into it, but, like, I'm trying to remember, like, where I was at after, like, doing the first two dungeons, and I was like, I'm liking this so far. I'm liking everything they're serving me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's really neat, and it's like, you kind of just want to go back out and, like, explore the next dungeon, and it's like, I already know that, like, I missed something in the first one, so it's like, that's the one concern I have. Maybe you can alleviate my fear on it. It's like, you're on vacation. Like, is there a time limit to this?
I don't know. I don't know yet. Because there was a
part
where my character said, I'm going to do the full 25 days. And I'm like, is this like Pikmin, where I have 25 days to do it? Because if so, I'm not going to make it. Because there's about a few days like, I didn't do a dungeon. I don't think it is, because they kind of encourage you. When you go into, like, the levels that where you're heading towards the dungeons, right? There are they're called scenic spots.
Yeah.
And you can spend your day there instead of doing a dungeon, and then it takes you back to the town. And it burns a day, but it ups your relaxation stat, which you may need for whatever, you know, like so I have to believe there's not a limit on it. There should not be. The game should not. I'm a huge fan of games where it's like, you have 25 days to do this, but, like, it doesn't make sense here because, like,
right,
you have to spend a day here and there doing certain things to up certain stats, in my opinion. Well, I guess I will know by next week, but
okay.
I kind of doubt that it's a 25-day limit. I don't know.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, no, like, because there's a... I think you probably found multiples, but, like, you found probably the first one in the first dungeon. There's, like, these coins that are in each dungeon.
Yeah.
And I missed the one in the second dungeon. And it's like, oh, no, there was like, I think I know what I got to do. I got to go back and get back in the mine cart and go backwards.
Oh, yeah.
From the first second one. Dungeon.
The second one was the minecart one, too?
Yeah.
Okay, so we really talked about that. It's awesome. It is awesome. Like, that's the other thing,
too. With it, like, really neat puzzles.
This game does a lot of my fetishes in video games. One of my fetishes is minecarts, and it does it. Like, it fucking... That's a pretty big dungeon, I thought.
Wait, did you just say you have a minecart fetish?
It's a minecart fetish.
Yes. You're like, I want to have sex in a minecart. Like,
not sex. It's just you know, figure speech.
It's really like minecarts.
You just see the minecart go by, and you look over at your wife, and you're like, hey, let's go to the bedroom.
Well, you guys know one of, like, I've gone on about this. I love when you're doing, like, a snowboarding section in the game or something, like, where you're like, there's a whole fucking world built around that, and it's fucking awesome. It's all snowboarding, and I'm just like, man, Jeff, special, thank you. Like, Like, the world is built around, like, the whole level is built around that, as well as the dungeons. I'm just like, this is fucking great. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe not for everyone. But, like, I think if you're, like, again, it's not a one-to-one thing, but it's, like, if you're a Zelda fan, like, if you're a fan of Zelda, kind of, you kind of have to.
I think specifically, Zelda dungeons, I think. Like, yeah. If you're into, like, exploring the dungeons and, you know, solving the little puzzles that they have in there and figuring out the different routes, that's where this
it's like hit. That mixed with, like, a town sim, like Stardew Valley type thing, where it's I don't know, man, it kind of, like, checks all the boxes for me, with, again, a cool art style. And another thing is like, this is on Game Pass, so if you have Game Pass, give it a shot. Again, I think if you like this genre, I think you're going to be super into this game. Like, to me, this is, like, one of my favorite games of the year. Easily, you know, obviously we have a ways to go, but it's right up there with Blotro for me.
Yeah, it's really good for, you know, the half hour I played of it, and I plan on playing a bunch more, so.
Yeah, I hope to hear what you think is good. Again, I don't expect your opinion to change. It just to think, yeah, this game really rules. At least that was my reaction.
Yeah. So far, really liking it. So we'll check in next week with a follow up to it. But yeah, I'm liking it so far. Started and finished a game, and then I finished another one this past week. The one I finished is a game called Open Roads. You guys hear about this one? Out earlier this year. Hit Game Pass. It stars Caitlin Dever and Kerry Russell, I think.
What?
Yeah, so I think it's an Annapurna game. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I just, like, was like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an Annapurna game.
I do like those actresses, though, for sure.
Caitlin Dever. And Caitlin Dever plays, like, the daughter who you play as, and Kerry Russell plays the mom. And it's kind of a, you know, walking sim story-based type game. Like, there's a very set story that you're going to go through. And you can interact with some stuff, but mostly it's, like, just about this relationship between the mom and her daughter. And you find something as you're going through your grandmom's house that it's like, oh, this is a mystery. And you go off on a road trip with your mom to figure out what the mystery is. The performances are pretty good. I think if you're not a fan of, like, narrative walking sims, is not going to change your mind. Like, in fact, there's not much going on outside of the story, which I think is decent, but I don't know. It'll take you about 2 hours to play through it if you really want to, but I'm not sure it's worth giving it a go. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there, that it is one that is on Game Pass. Other one I played is, so Atari's been releasing these for about 3 or 4 years now, the Recharged games.
Yeah.
And I played Caverns of Mars Recharged. I've never played Caverns of Mars.
I've never heard of it.
But, like, I have liked almost all of these Atari Recharged games. And Caverns of Mars is neat. Like, it's a shooter. Like, you play a little spaceship. And instead of, like, a shmup, like one of the vertical ones that you play where you would fly up, you're flying down and you're basically just falling. And you slow your descent by shooting your guns, and you can shoot, either enemies, obstacles, or terrain. And so, like, depending upon what weapon you have, you can eat a chunk out of, like, the cavern in front of you and fly through it. But utilizing your guns utilizes fuel, and if you run out of fuel, then you just drop. Like you're just falling, and you could steer left and right, but you know, if you're just falling, like you're gonna fall too fast because you're not gonna be able to slow your descent. There are like weird fuel pickups that you can pick up along the way, and that'll restore a little bit of your fuel. But so you gotta kind of be selective in what you're shooting. It's 9 levels long, I think. So you start off on like a cavern, then it's a volcano level. There's 3 caverns, 3 volcanoes, and then 3 city levels. I guess once you get to the middle of Mars, there's a city there. I don't know. But if you complete all 9, then like you're it takes over. You get a little cutscene where you fly to the bottom and blow it up. It's cool. Like it's an arcade game. Like it's not going to be any deeper than that, but. Like these other recharged games, like there's the basic recharged arcade game, which is, hey, try to get a high score, try to finish it if you can. And then there's like all these missions that are like, well, do it with just this gun.
Is it one life like the other recharged?
So, yeah, so it's one life, but you will have like you have a health meter. And that's what's neat about this, okay. too. So if you complete a level, you'll get 3 upgrades you can choose from. And it's like a positive negative type thing. So it's like, all right, I can add more to my fuel gauge, which will give me more ammo, basically. Or I can add more health to me, but it'll take away from my fuel gauge. So like you can either take away from your health or add, you know, one or the other. And so it's like always you're trying to play like, well, what do I need here? But yeah, you have one life, but there's a health bar. So it's not like you get hit once, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You could take a little bit of damage. Like bumping into a wall, like will drop one health bar. But getting hit by an enemy will like, or a bomb, like there's these like mines. If you get hit by that, it takes off 2. I think you start out with 5. So like you can take a little bit of damage. And I was really like, all right, I'm never going to finish this. And then I just kept playing it and I kept getting like one step further. And so like, yeah, you get into like that, you know, with any arcade game, you're like, right, I'm going to do this. And it's like an hour and a half later, I'm there like, you know, twiddling the sticks on it. Like, I'm going to do this. And finally I did. I was like, I was really cool. It's not gonna like keep your attention for very long, but these games are on sale almost all the time for like $5.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite recharged game?
I do. Really like Centipede. Okay. But I think Black Widow.
That's might my favorite. Actually
be the one. Like it's really neat.
Black Widow is my favorite, and it's a game I've never played before.
What's surprising is like I really like I really like Breakout like as an arcade game.
Oh yeah.
And I don't love this version of Breakout. So I just don't love it. Like
again, I don't know how many of these games I've played, but I was fine with that. But I thought like Black Widow, it just felt like. It felt like a modern take on retro arcade game, but mm-hmm. obviously that's not what it is. It is a retro arcade game that they're redoing, and it was like, I don't know, I really dug that game.
Breakout's okay. Like I didn't love it. Quantum Recharged, I hated. That's one where you draw like little black holes, and the enemies kind of get sucked into them.
Yeah,
it's. I did not enjoy that. Didn't really like Berserk. Yars is pretty cool. Yars Recharge.
They're doing a new Yars, aren't they?
Yeah, and that is coming from Way Forward. I'm really interested in seeing
do Yars? Like,
yeah,
a lot of these like Atari games were just like built upon limitations of the system.
Yeah,
and I think Yars is one of those. But I don't know, maybe there's something there.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think there's, like, outside of Quantum, I don't think there's a bad one here. Cameron's Mars, pretty neat. I think there's one more I haven't played yet. That's Gravatar. So that's another, like, kind of space ship shootery one.
Yeah.
I'll play that at some point. I don't think it's not on sale right now.
Weird. I will. For fans of arcade games, like, I would wholeheartedly recommend Black Widow if you see it on sale. If it's under $5, buy Black Widow. You're going to have fun.
Yeah. It's really neat. It's basically a twin stick shooter, like, that you're working around a web.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I think that's it for games.
Fuck yeah, man. A lot of games.
One piece of news here. SAG-AFTRA, the union for actors, they are going to go on strike against the video game companies.
Good. Fuck them.
So.
Jeff's against wait, you're for it. For it.
Yes.
I think that the big sticking point for them is that, like, these video game companies want to, like, basically pay you to do your work and then use AI to just, like, manipulate it and just repeat, not pay you going forward. So
yeah. I think
this is a good idea to strike. Hopefully something comes of it. Technically, I don't think these video game companies are, you know, they're beholden to the actors. Like, they can get anybody to be a voice actor. We've seen it before. Like, they'll just have devs do voice work. It's shitty, but they'll do it. I hope they do something good here with this.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I really saw that jumped out at me this week, though, news-wise. I don't think
there was like real world news happening.
Actual
things that were not video game related
superseded.
And Stalker 2 is delayed again. I don't believe that game's real, so
game's probably, like, it was only delayed a little bit.
Yeah, it was delayed till November. So I think it was supposed to come out in September, but it's been delayed.
It's hard to make a video game. It's really super hard to make a video game when people are shooting at you.
Yeah, they are a Ukrainian developer. So that is true. It is probably very difficult to do your job if you're in the middle of a war zone.
Yes.
It's just I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure it'll come out. I did not think that their demo at the Xbox showcase was particularly great, but
apparently they haven't done any hands-on stuff yet for anyone. They're about to, but they haven't yet.
Okay.
So.
Well, good. You know, hopefully,
maybe the game is a myth, really sucks.
I
hope it's good for Ukraine, but
yeah. And final thing here. So I've been throwing our shows up on my YouTube channel for, I don't know, the last few months. And it's the way they hit or don't is absolutely mind boggling to me. Like, Jeff, I think our last episode of Recurring Nightmares got like 400 views on it. It's like, I don't advertise them. I just put them up on our private, on my own personal channel.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like I think I do say.
I didn't know that, and I'm on the show,
right? And all it is just like, it's, you know, whatever image I choose for the week for the show, that's on the site. I just use that, and it's like, just that's the image you're seeing with an hour or 2 hours.
I just see what I do that for sure. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, it's not anything big, but it's like, I just, so like every once in a while, like, you know, our last. Recurring Nightmares did really well. Our last episode of this show didn't do great, but then, like, I posted the latest VG Club, and that did okay on there. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the Game Pass price change, like, that did well. I don't know. Anyway, I thought, like, hey, maybe we could archive the older shows. I'll just turn them into videos, too. So starting the middle of this week on YouTube, and I guess I'll do it on Spotify, too. So I'm just going to, like, republish our old shows.
All right.
God. So starting classic at episode one. Yeah, so like a classic, classic version.
I don't think I could listen to it, but that's cool.
So we are.
I think we've gotten better at this over time. I think if we go back and listen to like the first few episodes, you're like, "What are those awkward pauses doing in there? Like, what happened?"
I didn't think we had an insane energy for like the first couple of years, though. Where it was just like
we were good for a while. Insane. I'd be interested to hear the Peter era. I think was low point for us.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Peter,
we've had like some cast changes.
Yeah.
Fuck, are we all still there?
But the three of us. I mean, we're here.
But Fozzie, if you're listening, your first episode, which is oddly, I think we started recording. It's been 15 years now, but we started recording in August. That was when our first episodes went live. So roughly 15 years to the day. I'm gonna put up our old shows on YouTube and on Spotify. So if that comes across your feed in any way, I'm gonna label them as classic. so you're not confused.
That's awesome, though. And I would love to get Fozzie back on for an episode here or there. Let's find him. Let's find Fozzie.
He sent me a tweet this week. He told me he ate my burrito. So, So he is out there, and I'm sure that we could reach out and get him on for a show at some point.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, that'll be going up this week. And maybe Jeff at some point. I'll repost our old Movie Dude stuff just to archive them.
Oh, so, boy.
Yeah, there's. I think there's probably some really good episodes and probably
some good and some episodes. Bad. Yeah. That's how it goes.
I may listen all the way through like our Game of the Year stuff, especially the first few years.
Could you imagine, like, it's like talking stuff to yourself from 10 years ago where you're like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Right? Why did he think that?
He thought was gonna be the best fucking movie from this year, and nobody fucking even talks about this anymore.
Yeah,
L.A. Noir is gonna be talked about for years. Who the fuck said that?
Exactly.
Yeah, L.A. Noir. I kind of want to reach out to Sean and see if he has the 9 recordings of Teabag Radio.
Yeah.
If we could publish them again, but
I'm telling you, I would love to have Sean as a guest on this show. What the fuck, Sean?
His schedule's a little bit better, so maybe we could finally talk him into doing it. So.
Right.
I will hire him. 401k.
Sean, when you listen to this episode, Jeff will pay you for your appearance. That's what he just said.
Yeah, he's going to offer you a 401k.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had that.
Yeah, for Sean.
Okay. We don't have it.
No, not you guys.
We're going to make sure Sean's retirement is covered, though.
We care about that ourselves. Nah, whatever.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting for people, I think, listening through it again, but.
Oh, God. Hopefully some stuff hits. Can we have all this stuff? Amazing.
Yeah,
it is. Our old voices and they're all
gonna so scared of, like, the racist, misogynistic things I said in, like, 2010.
They're going to be, like, our voices are going to be all high.
Yeah, I have, Jeff, there's in my, I have all of them in one folder, and we have 1,021 items in here. Now, some of them aren't shows. Some of them are like, you know, things I've saved off of a show, but over 1,000 items in here.
I'm so canceled. This is like, I'll never get past the VP
vetting process. Like, I'm not sure this is a good idea anymore. Oh no.
this is what does it. They're like, oh, you guys started posting those classic Perfectly Sane shows. Like, you guys are awful people.
I'm sure I was like saying, yeah.
I think it's good.
No, like, I'm excited. I might listen.
I
might listen for like 2 minutes and then turn off and go, oh my God, I was such a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there will be ones that we're going to want to listen to more than others, but
yeah.
Starting this week, I'm going to start throwing them up there. And
that's wild.
Yeah. At this point, we've been doing this for so long. Like, I'm a different person than I was. God, how long has it been?
It's like meeting the ghosts of Christmas past. It's
right?
Crazy.
16, I guess, Tony, I consider this like on iTunes or like, oh, what season are you? I think I have us down as 15.
I specifically remember an early episode where you, Chris, talked about like going in like it was like a turkey trot or something and carrying your son the whole time. And like, now he's in the fucking Navy.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Like when we started recording, my kids were little.
Yeah.
Like I have two grown, full grown. Yeah, dude. Like adults.
We were young and now we're old. And that happened.
And at the time that we were recording the first few seasons, I was only working part time. Like I was a part time stay at home dad to make sure like, cause my kids were doing like school at home and at daycare. So
yeah,
like it's going to be wild listening back to some of that stuff. But yeah, it'll be up there for people starting. I think I'm going to do them on Wednesday. So it doesn't really impact, you know, our publication or anything. And then give it a listen. People that listen to this, I know there are some. So, but I was just like absolutely dumbfounded that like my private YouTube channel, like it's not affiliated with the show. We don't have a YouTube channel. I think we had one. Don owns it.
Yeah,
I don't. He'd probably give it back to us. He probably doesn't even know what the password is.
He probably does not even know he has it.
Right. if YouTube hasn't scrubbed it because it's been inactive for like 7 years. But yeah, so I just started throwing them up on there, and then like some stuff hits, some stuff doesn't. But whatever, it, you know, we'll archive it all. It'll all be up there eventually. So starting this week, old stuff.
Yeah, old YouTube stuff stars.
So,
AKA canceled.
That's, if they haven't canceled us yet, like
yeah.
To be fair, the stuff that we that original stuff is all. It's gone because it was all.
You can't danger. Cancel me. I cancel myself. I don't go. What are you gonna cancel me of? What are you gonna do? You ain't do shit. Goodbye.
I think our first 250, 300 episodes were on Vagary. So, and that site, Ryan Republican took that site down. It's also true.
Oh God.
He went a little.
Oh, that site's gone.
Super conservative. Yeah, Vagary's gone. He took it down.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So I think like this is
not regularly checking where Vagary right, TV like nobody.
Well, he shut it down, but like he was, I'm gonna leave it up. But like, hey, you know, running a site does cost a little bit of money every year. Yeah. I'm sure he was like, why am I paying $100 or whatever
for this site that no one visits?
Like, right,
3 clicks per year.
Right, exactly. So new stuff this week, and we'll be back next week with some more games. Jeff,
games.
Say good night.
Good night.
Sultry.